Hey, we're in this series called Bad Religion. Today is actually week 4 of our series. We're looking at some harmful ways of doing religion. Jesus offered some criticism directed against the religious establishment that was kind of running the show in his time. And what's really interesting, and I find this all throughout the Bible, is that the things that Jesus talked about, the things that you find in the Bible from thousands of years ago, well, they still apply today. There still exists some bad religion in our world today. Jesus was calling out this bad religion. He was exposing it. But I don't want us just to end there with the critique, with the ripping out and the tearing down. Rather, let's do some building up. So if Jesus is critiquing something, what is the rebuild that he's offering? What is the healing way of doing religion? A way of connecting with God, with others, and yourself that brings you deeper and deeper into the person that God has created you to be. So that's what we're doing over these couple of weeks here. And we're looking at, there's a series of statements that Jesus offers, a series of critiques, and we're looking at the third, they're known as woes. This is the third out of 7 woes that Jesus harshly delivers. We'll look at Matthew chapter 23. We're going to be in verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools! Once again, Jesus is trying to make friends. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? I almost died. That could have been bad. We're talking concussion. Thank you. Whew, just saw my life flash in front of my eyes. Whew, all right. You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. All right, lots here for us to look at. This woe, this critique is about oaths, formal declarations, formal statements, promises. Let's do a little audience participation because it just kind of feels like that kind of a morning. What kind of oaths, formal declarations do we see in our world today? Let's bring this into the 21st century. What are some oaths that we take? Yes, exactly. Marriage. You're saying, I am going to love and cherish this person through sickness, through health. And you formally take that oath in front of multiple witnesses. Whenever I do a marriage, perform a wedding ceremony, I have to make sure that there are witnesses there in order to sign that marriage license. Because there's two people that are taking a stand and they're saying, we are going to be in this together. They're doing it in front of others. Other oaths that we take. Lois. Baptism. Yeah. Yeah, again, public declaration in front of other people saying, I am committing my life to Jesus. Jesus is my Savior, and I am walking this path of following Jesus. I'm learning what it means, and I want to declare this publicly to all of you who are, again, witnessing this. Any others? Say it again. An oath of office. Yeah, the president. Puts his hand, or any elected, right? Hand on the Bible. And then again, before others, saying, I am going to uphold everything that this job requires. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. I think about a courtroom as well. I once was selected for jury duty, so I had to, and it wasn't just one of those where I went and then they dismissed me within the first day, but rather they kept me there for that entire, I think it was like 2 weeks. But I was an auxiliary juror, so I didn't even get to speak or say anything when we deliberated. So I had to sit there for the 2 weeks, and then I was only there in case someone else got sick. So basically 2 weeks went by when, it was interesting though, interesting process. But every time that a witness got up, they would put their hand in a Bible and they would say, yeah, I declare I'm going to tell the entire truth the way that I saw it, how I perceived it. Other oaths. I have this one. What about the Hippocratic Oath? Do no harm. Anything else? Yeah. Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. Making a pledge. Again, a formal declaration, a formal statement. So we all make these oaths all throughout our normal lives. Sometimes they're up here, like a marriage in the courtroom. Other times they're just in your word that you speak to someone else. Hey, I'll meet you there at 6 o'clock. If I tell George, I got to pick on George because he hasn't been here in a while. George, the new father. Let's give him a round of applause. Papa Caponera. He made it. And he's wearing sunglasses so that you cannot see how tired he is. If I were to tell George, hey, I'm going to meet you at 6 o'clock for dinner right over there at Chipotle. What's George going to do? He's going to show up at 6 o'clock, right? Because I gave my word. I said, hey, I am going to be here at 6. Well, if it's 6:15 and I'm not there, George might be getting a bit antsy, right? Because he's expecting me to be there. He'll send me a text, try calling me on the phone. I gave my word that I was going to be there, and so he expects me to follow through with that. Whenever we make a promise, commitment to someone, we are expecting that person to follow through with whatever it is that they have committed to, and then we do our part as well. So when we talk about oaths, we can talk about things that are really, really formal. You sign something, declare something, or something really informal like, hey, let's meet for dinner at 6 p.m. Now, what's happening here with the oaths that Jesus is critiquing is the religious leaders have come up with this elaborate system in order to decide what is a binding oath and what is a non-binding oath. And they came up with this way where it's almost like, do you remember when you were kids, you could cross your fingers behind your back and you would say something and they'd be like, well, yeah, you got to do this. Well, no, I don't have to do it because my fingers were crossed, which means I didn't really mean it. That's what's happening here. The religious leaders have come up with this system where they could say certain things, they could swear on a particular place, or they could swear by something in particular, and if they swore by this, then they had to follow through with it, but if they swore by that, then it was non-binding and they didn't actually have to follow through with that. So it was very, very hypocritical. I mean, it was like they were doing all these different moves in order to get around their formal word, meaning what it is that they were actually saying. Notice, anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. So if you swear by the temple, you don't have to follow through with it. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, ooh, that is binding. You swear by the altar, it means nothing. Fingers crossed again, right? But if you swear by the gift on the altar, well, now you have to follow through with that commitment. Basically, what's being said here, it's a question that's being raised. What matters? What's important? Is the temple the most important? Or is the gold of the temple more important? What's more sacred? Is the altar the most sacred thing? Or is it the gift that is more sacred than the altar itself? What's happening here is Jesus is calling out an entire system of religion. A system of, shall we call it, bad religion. Y'all knew that was coming, right? Thank you, Ted. I'll take that. And what Jesus is doing, he's exposing that what the religious leaders are placing more significance on are the items, the physical things, the things that you can see and touch, than on the very presence of God. What did the temple symbolize? God's presence. In the ancient world, a temple was where the divine resided. So you would go to the temple because it was believed that at that temple, that's where that God lived. But what are the religious leaders placing more significance on? What are they saying is more sacred? The gold, the thing that humans produce, pulled out of the ground, put together in order to create a structure, rather than the temple and the deeper significance of what it actually meant. Think about the altar. What did the altar symbolize? Connection between you and God. You would go to the altar because that's where you would meet God. But yet, what was more sacred? It wasn't the altar. It was the gift. Again, the gift that you could produce with your own hands. The religious leaders had it all backwards. They were saying it's the things that they could do, the things that they could bring to God that were more important than the divine. Do you see what's happening here? They're saying the things that we can bring, they're more sacred and they matter more than the things that God provides, the things that God freely gives to us. Now, let's take a look at a familiar passage in the book of John. This is John chapter 4, verse 19. In your Bibles, it's titled, Jesus and the Samaritan Woman. So Jesus is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman, which all sorts of reasons why this shouldn't have been happening. That's for another sermon, another day. He's having this conversation, and the woman says, Sir, I can see that you are a prophet, speaking to Jesus. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. What's happening here is the Samaritans had a different mountain where they believed God's presence was, where they would go in order to worship God. And the Jewish people, they had another place. And the two of them, they didn't really get along. And so they had all these different ideas about where you had to go to worship God. And she's asking Jesus, she's confused, she wants to know, Jesus, where's the true mountain? Where is God's presence really? Is it over there where my people say it is? Or is it where your people, the Jewish people, say that God's presence is? I want to worship God, but I just don't know where to go. Which mountain is more sacred? Which is the true mountain? Jesus declares, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit. So what's Jesus essentially tell her? Doesn't matter where you worship. This mountain, that mountain, doesn't matter. God is spirit. The presence of God is everywhere. The presence of God infuses every single moment. Remember that first question, what is more sacred? Temple, the gold, altar, or the gift? What Jesus is saying here in this conversation is it's all sacred. There's not a moment in time, there's nothing in life that is more sacred than something else. It's all a gift that's been given, and God's presence is readily available everywhere you go. It's not a matter of what is more sacred than something else, what's more or less. It's really a matter of recognizing the sacredness in all things, in every moment. One of my favorite passages in the Bible, Genesis 1, because everything stems from the beginning. You get the beginning wrong, get the rest of the story wrong. In the beginning, we have a poem in the first chapter of the Bible. And the poem, it has a certain rhythm to it. There's certain symbolism strewn all throughout this poem. Specifically with the number 7, because in the ancient world, 7 was a really, really important number. Whenever temples were built in the ancient world, 7 days. And in the beginning of those, the first couple of days would be spent placing furniture in the temple, establishing the rules, the functions of that temple. But then at the end, on that 7th day, there would be a giant party like we're going to have at Joe and Laura's house on the 13th. Which you're all going to be there for, I'm sure. But there'd be a giant party because it was believed at the end of this temple building, the God whose temple they were building would then come and reside within that temple. The God that God's presence would infuse the temple with life. So what we have here in Genesis 1 is temple building. And at the end of the building of this temple, which is the earth, we have God's presence filling the entire earth. So what's more sacred? What's less sacred? It's all sacred. Genesis 1 tells us that every single moment, all time, every place is just as sacred as the next. And it comes down to our awareness of the sacredness of the moment. So, when Jesus is talking about oaths, and when Jesus is calling out this system of some matter and others don't matter, he's saying, you guys got it all wrong. Because what you're saying is that there's some moments in life that are sacred and there's other moments that aren't. There's some commitments you make that are binding because you're swearing on something that's sacred and you're saying that others aren't binding because it's not sacred. Jesus is saying, no, it's all sacred. Every single word you speak matters. It's important. It's sacred. Every commitment that you make, every time that you tell someone, whether formally or informally, you're going to do something, Jesus is saying, just be a person of your word. Don't come up with an elaborate system to try to get out of things. Don't have your fingers crossed behind your back at certain times, but rather, let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Later in Matthew, or earlier in Matthew, Jesus actually makes this. Matthew chapter 5, he says this. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. If it's yes, then yeah. And if it's no, then it's no. And that's okay too. Don't try to look more religious through your words or by what you're swearing on. Don't try to make it look like you're more pious simply because you're making a commitment on this, but you're really going to just wiggle your way out of it. Let every single word you speak be a formal, sacred promise. Every single word matters. When I was younger, I had joined a travel soccer team. And I remember I tried out because I really wanted to be a part of this team. I was probably in middle school. And I made the cut. I was on the team. But I didn't realize the commitment level that this required. Crazy amounts of commitment, practice every night. And there was other things that I wanted to do. So a couple of weeks into it, I went up to my parents and I was like, hey, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done. A couple of weeks in, that's it. You know, it was fun. Glad I made the team, but I'm out. And I remember my dad was like, you can't do that. You can't do that. You tried out for the team, you made it, and you said that you were going to commit to this team. So until that commitment ends, you have to stay with the team. You gave your word. You know, that was a forming moment for me. Because my dad could have easily said, all right, yeah, too hard, or taking you away from time with your friends or other things that you want to do. And he could have said, okay, fine, just go tell the coach and then you're out. But he said, no, you gave your word. You committed to this. My dad was teaching me to be a man of my word, to let my yes be yes. If it was yes, then I'm going to follow through with that. And I have carried that truth with me for however, I don't know how old I was, but at least 25, 30 years. And this is what Jesus is saying. You make a commitment, you stick with it. So think about what it is that you're committing to before you say yes. Don't just quickly say yes to something thinking, oh, I might be able to get out of it a little bit later if I don't like it. And Jesus is saying, if it's no, well, that's okay too. Learn boundaries and be okay with boundaries. And let others know that you have boundaries. And there's some times that you just need to say no, and it's okay to say no. That's what Jesus is saying here. It's okay to say no. It's great to say yes when you can do it, but sometimes you just need to say no, and you don't need a reason why you have to say no. Just be a person of your word, because every word you speak is sacred. Genesis 1, how did God create? Through the spoken word. Words create worlds. Every word you speak this week is sacred. and it matters, and it carries weight. So let your yes be yes, and your no be no, and don't come up with some system of what you're going to swear by to determine what's binding and what you can wiggle your way out of. Every word matters. God, we're here this morning, and I thank you that we can be meeting outdoors in the shade together again. God, I thank you that we can even have a greeting time again. God, something that we haven't done in over a year. So I thank you for that. I thank you for the smiles and the opportunity that we have to gather together again as a community. God, I pray that you would continue going before us as a church. God, continue leading us. God, we trust what it is that you have for Awaken. And God, as we continue this series of Bad Religion, God, I ask that we would be reminded this week of the importance of our words. God, that we wouldn't just say things without thinking about them. God, that we wouldn't make commitments without thinking about what it will require of us. But God, may we see all of our words, all of our commitments as sacred. Moments that reflect you. God, moments that speak of your character. So may we represent you through the words that we speak, through the promises that we make. May we be people of our word. May we not try to wiggle out of things that we've committed to, but may we be people who have the discernment and awareness to know when to say yes and when to say no. So give us that awareness this week. May we see every moment, every conversation as a gift, as a moment that is infused with your presence. So we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.